Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland in our Buck studio for this hour of the Midday. Quiz question comes your way at 12:30. It's already in, and we'll see what the results are. This could be your day to win the prize. Every 2 years, Piano Arts sponsors a competition, the official name of which we'll hear in a moment because I can never quite remember all the words, but our guest can, and he is a dazzling young pianist. Let's see. You turned 20 yesterday?
I did, yes.
David Coe is his name, Coe spelled K-O, and he's the winner from 2010, and so he is the most recent winner of the Piano Arts Competition, which, by the way, is sponsored by the Milwaukee Symphony and Visit Milwaukee and also a Link Argerich Foundation. The full name, let's see, the Piano Arts North American Piano Competition.
Yes.
Okay, I suppose that's the first thing you want to know when you're going to enter a competition is actually what it's called.
This is true.
What did you play 2 years ago to win that?
2 years ago, my concerto, I played the second Chopin concerto.
Oh.
And I think I hear that the piece really that clinched it for me in the solo rounds was the second piano sonata of Schumann, the G minor.
Is that the one that has a really fast part in it?
It has two really fast parts.
Yeah, I mean,
in
he
it,
says
yeah.
as fast as possible, and then he says it's faster.
It's this one. Yeah, it's the famous as fast as possible, and then faster, then even faster. Yes.
Well, I've heard some of your playing, and I'm not at all surprised that you were able to carry that one off.
Thank you.
Now, what do you, you're still in school, right?
Yes.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And where?
I just finished my second year at Columbia University and also at the Juilliard School in New York.
And what are you studying at Columbia?
Neuroscience, actually.
And do you think you're going to pursue neuroscience as a career or music as a career?
I guess I'm still a little undecided on that, but I'll have a couple more years to think about it.
Sure, sure. What would you do with neuroscience if you did make that your career?
There is the possibility that I would go to med school and then practice medicine, neurosurgery perhaps, or I could go to grad school and do research, or perhaps both, doing the double degree thing again.
Sure. And how do those two studies complement each other, do you think?
The medicine and the research?
And, the neuroscience and the music.
The neuroscience and the music. Well, of course, there's actually a lot of research going on these days about how exactly music affects the brain, you see.
Yes.
And it's the study is, of course, still in its infancy, and I've read some papers on it, and I feel like they're getting there, but they're not quite there yet. But, you know, maybe I'd like to contribute something to that.
Well, I'd say you would be in a very good position to do so.
I hope so.
Well, let's start with some music by Franz Liszt. Actually, we're going to be hearing two fairly large works during the midday today, but we're going to hear from you before each of the various movements of these works by Liszt and Beethoven. And the first is one of those, I call them picture postcard suites or pieces by Liszt. Obviously, he was a well-traveled composer and liked to evoke these various places in the piano.
This is true. I mean, the title of this set of pieces is Venezia Napoli, which is, of course, Venice and Naples, and it's a supplement to the second year of his years of pilgrimage, Italy.
And the first piece has to do with gondoliers.
Yes.
We're in Venice.
Mm-hmm. The main melody of the piece is based off of a popular, I think it's still popular now, but a popular Venetian gondolier song. And the story goes a little bit like how a young man tries to invite a young woman into his gondola.
I imagine Liszt had experience at that.
I'm sure he was quite good at that, yes. But then she is rocked to sleep by the waves, and she remains, let's say, unmolested.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. And so here it is. It's just called Gondoliera, and it's the first of the three Liszt pieces called Venezia e Napoli. Gondoliera, the first of the three pieces by Franz Liszt from the collection Venice and Naples, a set of three. And our pianist, live from our Buck studio during the midday today, David Coe, the winner of the 2010 Piano Arts North American Piano Competition.
That's right.
Sometimes you're playing just right hand only, and then the left hand comes in. It's almost as if we have some kind of operatic duet in progress there.
I would say that's definitely probably what Liszt had in mind there, yes.
Now, when you're at Juilliard you're at Columbia,
mm-hmm.
at Juilliard, is there more of an emphasis on being able to talk about the music as well as to play it?
I wouldn't say that's a main focus at Juilliard. I mean, Piano Arts does a very good job at emphasizing that in the competition. And each of the contestants does get a lot of coaching in preparation for their semifinal rounds and such.
So during the competition, you actually have to, it's not just playing the piece, you get up and talk about it first.
Right. I think in the second semifinal round, you do have to talk for 10 minutes about your piano concerto, which is quite something if you think about it.
Well, yes, it is. 10 minutes of fluent, projected, communicative information about a piece of music. And when you consider that it's a slightly different skill to speak, especially before an audience, than it is to play an instrument.
Indeed it is.
So that would help to, what would we say, winnow out some of the competitors.
I would say so, yes. I actually had a friend once who was looking into the piano arts competition, but was actually too scared of the speaking portion to apply. And I was like, well, it is nerve-wracking sometimes.
But I believe that music educators do emphasize that mm-hmm. more than they used to.
Yes.
What do we hear in the next of these three pieces, the canzone?
The canzone is actually based on another Gondolier song, but this time it's from Rossini's opera, Othello. And it's during one of Desdemona's arias that she hears a Gondolier song in the distance. And Liszt sort of just borrowed that theme and went with it. It's quite a short piece and kind of rhapsodic, but
canzone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Canzone by Franz Liszt, and we'll be back with pianist David Coe and the third of those pieces, which is going to be quite a workout, I suspect, given the title Tarantella. Back in a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with pianist David Coe, and now we'll hear the third of those pieces, three of set by Franz Liszt, and we've heard the gondoliers, we've heard the canzone just now, and then there's this thing about the spider's bite.
Yes, the tarantella is a dance that the Italians would dance whenever someone was bitten by a tarantula, the idea being that if you danced hard enough, you would get the poison down. Of course, the ironic thing is that tarantulas aren't poisonous, of course, so I suppose no one told them that.
Made for a lot of great music, though.
Yes, it did. It's quite the virtuosic tour de force, and Liszt certainly wasn't the only one who wrote tarantellas that were very impressive.
Yes, they go way back, but this one is a real set of high hurdles for the pianist.
I have to say so. As far as, though funnily enough, as far as Liszt goes, it's not the most challenging, actually. I would consider it one of the easier technical show pieces.
Is that right?
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, so you're ready then.
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. This is the tarantella. Tarantella, that's the third of the three pieces, Venice and Naples by Franz Liszt. There's a story about composer Emmanuel Chabrier, who liked to play his piano in his apartment with the window open, and crowds would occasionally gather. And on one occasion, at the end of one of his playing sessions, somebody out on the sidewalk yelled, "If I were your landlord, I'd give you free rent." Well, David, I think you've earned some free rent today.
Thank you very much.
You have my recommendation. Beethoven, in one of his letters, complained about using Italian tempo indications for the movements of piano pieces, and he said, "I'm just going to stop." I don't know if he stopped cold, but he did get into using German.
Yes, and I think in most of his works in the later periods, he either used only German tempo markings or both German and Italian. I think using both was the norm, but in this sonata, both movements are with German only.
This is, let's see, which sonata? Is it number 30?
This one, it would be number 27.
27, to be precise. Mm-hmm. And what does he tell us about the first of the two movements?
The tempo marking is basically, paraphrasing, means with liveliness and with much emotion and expression throughout.
All right. Well, let's see what it sounds like then. Mm-hmm. The first movement of Beethoven's Piano Sonata number 27 in E minor. Our pianist during the midday live from our Buck studio today is David Coe. We'll be back with him and the next movement of that same sonata. And, of course, I'll repeat the 12:30 quiz question, too, after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is not unheard of, but a little unusual in Beethoven to have a two-movement sonata.
I believe so. Well, this is a later Beethoven work, and he originally wrote pretty typical three- or four-movement piano sonatas, but started experimenting a lot with form in his later years. And the second movement actually serves as both the second and third movement in a conventional sonata because it's both, it could be considered both a slow movement and a rondo.
And the slow movement, he tells us, is rather song-like.
Yes.
Which would be not unusual either.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right. Thank you.
the word that keeps coming to mind is modern. You know, that's mm-hmm. in a way so different from earlier Beethoven sonatas.
He was quite the innovator, I have to say.
Kept on innovating all the way through number 32.
Yes, he did.
Well, let's see. David Coe is my guest this hour, and you are at the end of your sophomore year at Columbia and Juilliard?
Yes.
And so what does a person who is interested so deeply in the piano and so much in neuroscience do during a summer? Is there any off time?
Well, in August I'll be home mostly, and I think I'll be relaxing and taking a vacation with my parents.
And where is home?
San Francisco, actually. But strictly speaking, I'm actually supposed to be at a research program at Columbia at the moment.
Oh.
And have sort of escaped from that for a couple of weeks. But I'll be doing that until the end of July.
Well, this is research.
I have to say, yes. I can make that argument, of course.
I would think so, in a very articulate way, too. Do you have one more for us?
Yes, I do. This is my encore piece, or it was at my recital last Friday night at the Wisconsin Conservatory. But this is the second one of the Danzas Argentinas, the Argentine dances by Alberto Ginastera. And the title is The Dance of the Beautiful Maiden.
How did you find that piece by Ginastera?
I was listening to a recording by Martha Argerich, the Argentinian pianist, of course, and I think it was actually one of her encores. Well, I mean, it would make sense, of course, because Alberto Ginastera is also an Argentinian composer. But I found it's the set of three dances, and I like them a lot, so I decided to learn them.
Now, I've mentioned that you're the 2010 winner of the Piano Arts North American piano competition.
Yes.
And you're back in this area in conjunction with the 2012 competition.
Yes. Prior to the competition, I went around to a few schools in the area to perform. And once the competition started and after my recital to start off the competition, I have just been helping out with a few things in the competition. Today, actually, in fact, this evening, I'll be presenting the first place award to whoever is fortunate enough to receive it. So that should be pretty fun.
I'm sure that'll be exciting for all concerned. Well, David Coe, thanks for being with us today for the midday.
Thank you for having me.
And come back anytime.
All right. Thank you very much.
You know where to find us. The light is always on. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you.